Hey, so glad that you're here, everybody here at North Point in the West and over here in the East. I want to say hello to all my friends up at Browns Bridge. Hello to all of you. And then I want to say a special hello to those of you who are watching online, especially if it's your first time. So glad you're here. My name's Andy Stanley. Really, really excited about being here with you today. I'm just kidding. Andy Stanley is way better looking than me. My name's Clay. I'm so excited about being here today. This is really cool for me because I am currently the pastor at Browns Bridge, but in my previous life, I worked here at North Point, so this is really cool for me to get to come back and hang out with all my homies at the MP. That's really, really cool for you guys to have me here. So we're really excited about... Thank you for the smattering of applause. Nothing says we love you like a golf clap, so that's really cool. I'm so glad you guys are here as well. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, hey, we're in part two of this series called Owned. I love this idea because it's trash talk at its finest, right? To be able to tell somebody, you just got owned, sucka. And that's kind of what this series is all about, that there are certain things in our life that have the potential to own us. And it honestly is not quite so funny, right? In fact, last week we talked about this area of our life that a lot of people, a lot of us, in fact, most all of us, don't want to talk about. In fact, we work hard to forget about it. We work hard to ignore it, to misremember it. But last week we talked about our past regret and how our past regret has the potential to own us. But we looked at this life of a guy named Paul who wrote half the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he said, hey, you don't have to be owned by your past. Instead of being owned by your past, why don't you walk back into your past and own up to your past? And there are a lot of people who did that last week, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time. And it can be emotional, but it can be so healthy so that we can be people who live like God wants us to live, not owned by our past, but free from the past regrets that have the potential to own us. This week, we're going to talk about a different area of our life that might not be maybe quite as interesting. Maybe the stories aren't quite as good sometimes as our past. But to get there, I want to show you this because this is probably something that you remember from school. You remember this? The hall pass, huh? Some of you are like, oh, I need one right now. I got to go to the restroom. That's good to know. Look, the great thing about the hall pass is the ultimate Monopoly get out of jail free card, right? Because if you need to go somewhere and you're stuck in class, you say, hey, could I take the hall pass? Your teacher willingly, maybe reluctantly, gives you this hall pass, and you are now free to do whatever it is that you would like to do in the hallway, and no one can say anything to you. Maybe the assistant principal sees you down the hall trying to take a water fountain off the wall or something crazy. Ah, I got a hall pass. Everything's fine. Are you skipping school? Nope. I got a hall pass. Everything's cool. I mean, you could be organizing Occupy Language Arts, whatever it is that you want to do. And as long as you have this hall pass, you can get away with it. A carnival with elephants and carny folk, little-handed, big-handed, whatever you would like out of your carny folk, you could invite them into your hallway. And as long as you have this hall pass, you're good to go, right? Well, everyone in life at some point, I love that. This young man is really interacting with this message. This kid is like, not my teacher, man. I use that hall pass and she uses it as a whooping. That's terrible. That's awful. I'm glad you're here though. That's good. Hey, we all in life can relate to this. Maybe you've never thought of it this way, but all of us have at some point in our lives used a hall pass to validate the emotions that we feel, to validate the way we really want to treat people, to validate the way we really want to treat ourselves oftentimes. Have you ever had, maybe it was a bad day at work, you know, maybe your boss asked you to stay late for the fifth day in a row and you thought you got to be kidding me. And so for the rest of the week, you used your hall pass to let everybody know about it. You expected everyone to get out of your way when it comes to traffic. You expected your wife to understand or your husband to understand or your roommates to understand. And when they didn't, you thought, hey, I should get a hall pass. I had to work late. Or maybe for you, you and your spouse had a child and you thought, oh, this is such a joy, a child. And then that child started teething, you know, and you thought, wow, this is really miserable. How could someone so cute be so loud right now, you know? And you wanted to use your hall pass. You wanted to say, hey, come on, don't I get a break? My child is teething. Everyone at Target, move out of the way. I need to be first in line. I have a hall pass. My child is teething. In fact, there's hundreds of examples of times in your life where you felt like, yeah, I get an excuse. I know I probably shouldn't do that. I know I probably shouldn't go there. I know I probably shouldn't say that. I know I probably shouldn't treat you that way. But after all, I've got a hall pass because of my current circumstances. And this is where we got to start today when we're talking about our current circumstances. We've got to start with this idea of a hall pass because, check this out, hall pass typically equals you are getting owned by your circumstances. That when you feel yourself using a hall pass, when you feel yourself pulling it out saying, hey, surely I get an excuse, right? That's a pretty good indicator that you're getting owned by your circumstances. And no one, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, no one wants to get owned by your circumstances. But the truth is, our circumstances have the potential to own us. Have you ever known someone who was owned by their circumstances, by their current situation? Sure you have. You know that person that always wants to talk about it, they're always bringing it up. Whenever you try to call them on, hey, you probably shouldn't have said that, they say, well, do you know what I'm dealing with? This is my excuse to do really whatever it is that I want to do. In fact, the crazy thing is oftentimes people do dumb things to themselves because of their current circumstances, right? I mean, some of you have seen somebody go out on a weekend yelling, YOLO, you know? You only live once. I'm going to get crazy because after all, I got a rough situation going on. And so here they are with this tough situation getting owned by that circumstance, by that situation. And if you feel yourself using a hall pass, chances are you are being owned by your circumstances. And that's not a good place to be. In fact, today I want to let you in on some great information. This is pretty amazing, but the Apostle Paul, the guy that we looked at last week, he said this about your circumstances. He said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In other words, he's saying, hey, I have learned that there is a secret. Shh, don't tell anyone. But there's a secret on how you cannot be owned by your circumstances in any and every situation. To which a lot of you probably think, no, can't be true. Because you're dealing with something that's really, really significant right now. In fact, you're dealing with something that if you were to share, if you were to say, hey, could we just pass the mic? Could I get a chance to tell everybody my story? Because if you knew my story, surely everyone in the room would go, okay, yeah. Okay, Paul obviously didn't know that that could happen. You definitely get a hall pass. And there are situations that I'm sure if we heard, we might even say, you know what? Yeah, you deserve a hall pass. But Paul says, no, I'm talking about any and every situation. There is a way for you to find contentment, for you to find satisfaction. See, some of you really are dealing with something way more significant than just allergy season or a failed hard drive or a vomiting dog that caused you to not sleep all night. No, you're dealing with more significant stuff than that. Maybe you've just gotten laid off, or maybe you're not getting any work. And you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And the ends are just not quite working out. Or maybe you just have recently gotten a grim diagnosis from the doctor, and it's not so good, and you're thinking, there's no way that someone could find contentment in this situation. Or maybe someone has walked out on you. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's your parents, maybe a child. And you're thinking, God, if it's true that you have a plan for my life, I don't like this plan. And surely Paul, when he said any and every situation, couldn't have been talking about this. The part that messes with me is that it seems like Paul was being genuine. And then when you read this verse in context, as we're going to in a bit, it seems like he really knew something that we don't know. And maybe, just maybe, there is a way for you to find contentment in whatever it is you're going through. Because there's this lie that exists sometimes when we allow ourselves a hall pass. When we allow ourselves to be owned by our situation, by our circumstances, the lie is this. If you catch yourself playing this game saying, well, if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't have done this. If that would change, then maybe I would change. If he would stop, then I would stop. If she wouldn't quit doing that, then I wouldn't have to do this. And we attach our response so closely to what has happened, thinking, well, I had no choice. What was I supposed to do? Did you see what he did? Did you see what she did? Did you see the cards that were dealt to me? Of course I had to do that. I don't care if that was right or wrong. Look at what caused it. And it's a lie that we oftentimes believe, where we take on a victim mentality, where we take on a martyr syndrome, saying, I had no other choice. Did you see what happened? Of course I should get a hall pass. I mean, did you see what they did? Did you see what happened to me? Come on. I should be able to do whatever I want, or I should be able to treat him however I need to, or I should be able to do to myself whatever I need to medicate and get through this. But you see, Paul really didn't give us any outs. He really did say, in every situation, there is a way. There's a way, and it's a secret. Not everybody knows it. That's why I'm so glad you're here today. So glad you're checking us out today, because this secret is really, really powerful. And for some of you, it's going to be incredibly hopeful, because you're dealing with something right now that you're thinking, there's no way in the world that I should be able to find contentment in this situation. But 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said otherwise. In fact, here's the full scope of what he said. When he wrote this, he was writing to this church at Philippi, and he was responding to some help that they had given him. They had helped him out. They had been concerned, had prayed for him, had actually given him some money to help support what he was doing. And he said, hey, I really appreciate that, but let me just tell you, I don't want you to get confused. And this is what he says. He says, I'm not saying thank you. I'm not saying I appreciate that, because I am in need. I have needs, but I'm not in need, for I have learned, look at this word, learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Let me tell you why this word learned is so important. Because Paul is, he's saying, look, there was a time where I didn't know. I didn't know how to be content. I wasn't content. I was going through something that I didn't like. I was going through something that wasn't what I would have chosen. I was going through something that was not, in the moment, didn't feel good for me, and I wasn't content. But I've learned. I was not, and now I am. I learned. I didn't know, and now I know, because I learned. Let me tell you why that's good news for us. If you're going through something today and you don't know how you're going to get through it, even more difficult than that, you don't know how you're going to find contentment in it, how you're going to find satisfaction in it, how you're going to be able to find joy in something that seems horrible, Paul says, well, I learned. Maybe you could learn. And maybe you can. Maybe today you can learn how to find contentment in whatever the circumstances, just as the Apostle Paul did. See, when he wrote this, he wasn't writing this from his weekend chalet, you know? He didn't have this weekend where he thought, you know, I just need to get away. I need to get away, have a couple days by myself. I want to go write some, clear my mind. I want to have just a weekend of solitude, maybe go find myself. No, that wasn't his situation. In fact, those of you who, you're real biblical scholars, I'm sure there's a lot of you out there. Where was Paul when he wrote this? He was in prison. He was in jail. He was a Roman citizen. He had rights in Rome that his family had purchased for him. And he was in prison, unlawfully jailed, because he believed that Jesus is not really dead. And there were some people that didn't like that he was propagating this idea. So they said, well, we're going to lock you up to try to shut you up. And he's writing this letter going, hey, things aren't all roses for me, okay? It's not like I'm on a weekend getaway. Things are actually kind of tough. That's why he says this. Check out the next verse. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be. Okay, before you judge, before you start going, oh, well, of course, Paul, easy for you to say. You were born to a wealthy family. You were trained as an attorney. You've had everything you've ever wanted in life. Of course, you know the secret to being content. If I had that much money, I'd know the secret too. Or maybe you're thinking, well, surely, Paul, you must be on something. And whatever you're on, pass it on, because I would like to try. Because if that would bring me contentment like it's brought you, I would love to try it as well. And Paul says, No, see, I know. I know what it's like to be in need. And he was writing this from a jail cell. Cold, dirty, hungry. Probably wasn't sitting in a chair at a desk writing with his quill. No, probably sitting on the floor in chains. And he's going, I know. I know what it's like to be in need. If you feel like you're in need right now, I know what that's like. I've been there. In fact, I'm there right now. And then he says this, and I also know what it is to have plenty. You can continue. Yeah, he says, I've learned the secret. There he is again. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed, follow this. He says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. He says, look, there are two tests to everyone's contentment. There is when you have a lot and when you don't have much. It's that simple. When you're hungry, when you're well-fed and when you're hungry, when you're living in plenty and when you're living in want. And he says, I'm telling you, in either of those tests, I have found that there is a secret to contentment, and I want to pass it on to you. See, some of you, you're living in want. You're not well-fed. You're living hungry. And you're saying, hey, well, if there's another test, could I try to take it? Because I think I could pass the other one, right? But come on, people. The reality is we live in an amazing country. And in our country, most people are well-fed. Most people, you might not feel like it, but most people are living in plenty. And sometimes this is a more difficult test than this, right? I mean, sometimes living in plenty is a more difficult test than living in want. I mean, if you just lined up the world's population, if we were to take 100 people from the world, line them up, guess where you would be? Even if you're in poverty in America, you would still be at the front of the line. You wouldn't be the line leader, but you'd be in the first 10. You'd be looking back at 90 people going, oh, so that's what it means to live in want? Okay, well, I didn't even realize I had plenty, but I guess I do. And he says, it really doesn't make any difference whether you have a lot or whether you don't have much. I'm telling you, it's a difficult test for anybody. And maybe Paul's saying, by giving us this example, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want, maybe he's saying this. Maybe he's saying, you want to know how to be content when you don't have much? Learn how to be content when you have enough. If you can be content when you have enough, maybe that'll set the foundation for you to be content when you don't have enough. Some of you are going, all right, give me the secret. Enough, preacher boy, let's hear it. Let's hear the secret. Well, it's going to surprise you, and some of you are not going to like it. Some of you, it's going to confuse you because you've heard this verse that I'm about to show you maybe 100 times in your life. See, but this is found in Philippians 4, verse 11, and then we looked at Philippians 4, verse 12. Now I want to show you Philippians 4, 13. Check this out. Here's what he said. He says, you want to know the secret? Here's the secret. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's the secret. Some of you are like, that's it? Is he going to score a touchdown or climb a mountain or run a marathon? Because isn't that where you normally hear this verse? And he says, you want to know what it means to do all things through Christ who gives me strength? It means that you can exist in any situation. You can exist in any circumstance. You don't have to just get by. But he says you can actually get by with joy, with contentment, with satisfaction in any and every situation when Jesus is giving you strength. you can do anything. I was looking just online about this verse and found this interesting story in Texas high school football, where this school had this banner that they had painted and it had a Bible verse on it. And so the government was saying, hey, you can't put Bible verses on a public school banner. And that's not the point of what we're talking about today. But I looked at the banner and I thought it was kind of funny, because the banner was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which I'm sure the coach used as a way to rally his team and say, we're going to win. And these players were running through this banner. Little did they know what this verse really means, right? Little did they know what this verse really means is, hey guys, and this doesn't make a great pregame talk, right? Little did they know this verse really means, hey guys, look, I want you to go play hard today. I want you to work hard. Some of you, you're going to do something that you've never, ever done before. But I just wanted you to know, even if we lose today, you can still find contentment. See, nobody gets fired up about that, right? Nobody's like, man, yeah, let's do it. Woo, let's knock some heads. No. See, in fact, check out this picture. This picture is what most of you think of probably when you've heard of Philippians 4:13. You think of someone at the top of a mountain going, they said I couldn't do it. They told me I was crazy, and I've done it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is really a better picture, though. Can we show that next picture? That's really a better picture of Philippians 4:13. Takes you a second, doesn't it? See, when your day isn't going so well, when you just found out that you didn't get the deal, when you just found out that she said no, when you just found out that he's leaving, when you just found out that you're not going to be able to get pregnant, and then your car breaks down, Paul says, even that situation, you can get through that situation with contentment and satisfaction and joy when Jesus has given you strength. This is another one I want to show you. Check this one out. This one really connects with me because this is my life right now. I've got little kids, and we get a lot of that like anybody would with little kids. And strength is when that baby's crying and the bill that you didn't know about just came and you're not sure how you're going to pay for it. Strength is, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Not because I have strength, because I feel like I'm in need, but because he gives me strength. Because he says, I'm telling you, you can do it. You really can do it. Not on your own power, but when I give you the strength to do it, you can find contentment in any situation, whether in want or in plenty, whether well-fed or hungry. As I've thought about this verse, I've thought, this is brilliant from Paul. I mean, it's really amazing. And for some of you, it's kind of disappointing because maybe you're a real practical person and you're thinking, hey, I want a plan. Can you give me a plan? Give me a three-step plan, or give me a process. Give me something that I can walk through. And Paul says, I can't give you a plan. I can't give you a process because you're going through something so difficult, you need a person. You need a person. You don't need a plan. You don't need a process. You need someone who's going to hold your arms up. You need someone who's going to hold your heart. You need someone who's going to literally give you strength. And Paul says that is only found in Jesus, the Son of God. In fact, the author of Hebrews said it this way in Hebrews 12. He said, hey, here's what I want you to do. When things get tough, things aren't going your way, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, listen to this, the joy set before him, he endured a cross. He scorned its shame. When everyone else was mocking him and spitting on him and persecuting him, he's saying, hey, I'm not going to take that. And then he was resurrected and sat down next to the right hand of God. And the author continues. He says, let us, all of us, Consider him who took on such opposition from sinful men so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. Are you growing weary? Are you losing heart? Paul says, you don't have to. I'm telling you, you might feel like it. And you might feel like using your hall pass. But he says, hey, don't be owned by your circumstances. Don't be owned by your situation. As tough as it might be, I'm just telling you, I'm here to bring you hope. You can do all things through Jesus who gives you strength. You don't need a plan. You don't need a process. You need a person. And sometimes the situation is just that grim where a plan won't work, a process isn't enough, but a person is all you need and more. And that's Jesus. As I've thought about this, I've thought, you know, I don't have a great example from my past to be able to share. I don't have this amazing story that everybody would go, oh my goodness, that is amazing. I don't. That's not me. I don't have that story. Paul did. But that was so long ago. As we were sitting in a room talking about this with Andy and some other pastors, we thought, well, what's an example of this? What's somebody in life? Because when you see it, you think, wow, it really is possible. If she can find joy or contentment in that, I can find it in anything. So I want to show you the story of Kevin. Kevin actually goes to North Point, but he was baptized at Brownsbridge. And so some of you at Brownsbridge got to see this, but a lot of you here at North Point, you never got to see it. And I thought, well, then let me take a moment and show it to you. And I want to let Kevin tell you his story of a guy whose life didn't work out, just like a lot of us, didn't work out the way he would have wanted it to work out, but a guy who was really wrestling to try to find contentment in any and every situation. Check this out.
My name is Kevin Stringfellow. I grew up in a loving Christian home, but as I grew older, I spent most of my teenage and college years living a rebellious lifestyle. I always had an overwhelming void within me that I thought I could satisfy through pursuing my own selfish desires. 4 days after my 21st birthday, during my junior year in college, I was injured in an accident that left me paralyzed from the neck down. One minute, I was enjoying the day with friends. The next, I was lying in a hospital bed at the Shepherd Spinal Center. I spent the next 3 months fighting to regain the ability to breathe on my own again and salvage any functional control of my body. I went home shortly afterwards and fell into a deep depression. Years later, I reconnected with an old friend who invited me to North Point. Reluctantly, I attended Christmas service. During service, I felt a surge of emotions. I tried hard to hide them, fearful that someone might see a crack in my armor. Scared, but with a newfound strength and overwhelming desire for knowledge and understanding, I began attending service, then Starting Point, and joined a small group. I came to realize and understand that God was always there for me, faithfully seeking a loving relationship. I was always the one running away from Him, unable to humble my heart to accept His loving grace. It's during this time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Romans 5 tells us to glory in our sufferings, as suffering brings perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I struggle every day still for understanding, but I'm grateful for the sacrifice and grace that I received from God that I may have not otherwise without the events in my life. I'd like to thank Kevin Grosvenor, my Starting Point group and leaders, my small group for their fellowship, the Darby family, and most of all my family for never giving hope in their many sacrifices. I'm truly grateful. I'm here today to publicly profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Kevin and I spoke a couple of days ago, and He promised me that this year in our fantasy football league that he would take it easy on me and some of the other guys if I didn't waterboard him today. This guy's got a great sense of humor. But more importantly, Kevin, you have found a way to find joy in your suffering. And today, most of us, we can walk, we can brush our teeth, and we can't find joy and peace in our suffering. So today, I want to thank you for reminding me, for reminding us of what's possible in Christ, because I know that that's how you're able to do that. And brother, it's based on your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I baptize you in the name of the Father who loves you more than you could ever imagine and always will. The Son who gave his life for you and bridged the gap between you and God, and the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to live your life for him.
I got a chance to talk to Kevin yesterday, and I'm so grateful that he let us use that story, use his story. That's not an easy thing to do, you know, to allow yourself to be put on a jumbotron like that, you know, but he was so gracious in letting us use it because he said, hey, I really want people to understand that there's not some bow on my story, you know. It's not like I found Jesus. This is what he told me yesterday. He said, it's not like I found Jesus and then everything was, oh, peachy, you know. No, it's still a struggle. It's still difficult. But he said, I'm really trying. I'm struggling. I'm wrestling with it, trying to find contentment every day in the situation that I'm in. And I don't want you to hear his story today and feel guilty. He wouldn't want you to hear his story and feel guilty or feel sorry for him. I want you to hear his story. I want you to hear the life of Paul, to know that there is hope for you. There's hope for whatever you're going through, no matter how rough it is, no matter how bad it might be, no matter how much you hate it and wouldn't have chosen it. God's saying, hey, there is a way where you can find contentment in any and every situation, whether you are well-fed and you have it all and things are going well, or whether you are hungry and in need and things are not going like you would have planned. You don't have to be owned by your circumstances. You don't have to be owned by your situation. But the Apostle Paul told us, Kevin is an amazing reminder, that God's saying, hey, you can do all things, not with a plan and not with a process, but you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, including getting through, even better than that, finding joy in, finding contentment in, finding satisfaction in, not being owned by whatever it is that you're going through. And my prayer today is that God would allow you to find contentment in whatever it is that you're going through. And that you'd be able to say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God, I pray that for my own life, God. I pray that for every person that's sitting here, every person that's watching online, every person at Browns Bridge that's thinking, I don't know how that's going to happen. God, would you strengthen us, God, through Jesus, through what he did on the cross, through his victory, his resurrection, and through the fact that one day you promised that we'll get to be seated next to you with him. We don't have to wallow in our circumstances. We don't have to hate our situation. We don't have to use a hall pass. We don't have to be owned by what we're going through. But by the power of your Son, we can find contentment in anything. God, for the person that's thinking, that seems impossible. God, you've done it so many times. Would you do it again? Would you show us what's possible in you? Not in our own strength, but in you. God, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his payment, for his death, for his resurrection, for his forgiveness, for his mercy, for his grace. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.